Chapter 8. To say the banquet did not go well was a bit of an understatement. Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji had to physically separate, at least for a while. But at least their two clans were sitting next to each other. And of course, they still had their bond, so they could still talk. Jingguangshan seated himself at the head of the room, on the dais in front of Wen Rohan's throne.
Subtle,
Wei Wuxian thought dryly, and Lan Wangji nearly choked on his drink. At first, it wasn't so bad. All the sect leaders and their disciples were congratulating each other for the roles they had played in the campaign. People were clearly wary of Wei Wuxian and his Stygian tiger amulet, but nobody dared say anything about it or be disrespectful. Jiang Cheng got plenty of accolades as well, which seemed to cheer him up.
"Have you talked to him about the Wen refugees?"
Lan Wangji asked.
"Yeah,"
Wei Wuxian said, and relayed Jiang Cheng's plan in a burst of thought. Lan Wangji found it was actually a pretty good one. Since Lan Xichun had already offered the idea of prison camps, Jiang Cheng's plan was to pretend to discover the Wen refugees that had fled to Yunmeng in a few weeks and put them in a labor camp, which would really just be a village they could live in.
"Clever,"
Lan Wangji said.
"Much better than waiting to be found out."
"Wen Qing's idea,"
Wei Wuxian said, and they both shared a mutual lack of surprise at this. Lan Wangji was distracted from the conversation at hand as Jing Guangyao came over to share a drink with his brother. He saw the soft smile on his brother's face and felt all his protective instincts coming to the surface. Wei Wuxian reached out and gripped his wrist, although it was clearly meant to comfort, not restrain.
"Easy, Lan Chan. All we can do for now is watch him."
"I know,"
Lan Wangji said, hating it.
"But how can I do that if I am going to go back to Lotus Pier with you?"
"Are you?"
Wei Wuxian was surprised, and Lan Wangji gave him a look.
Don't look at me like that. I figured you would want to go back to Cloud Recesses. There's still so much to be rebuilt there, and you're going to have to recruit and teach new disciples."
Silence sat between them. Silence and an ocean of longing. Because Wei Wuxian was right. Both of them were needed in their respective homes. Wei Wuxian could no more abandon Jiang Cheng and his attempts to revive the Jiang sect, woo Wen Qing, and protect the Wen refugees, than Lan Wangji could abandon Lan Xichun, his efforts to rebuild Cloud Recesses, and his need to be protected from Jing Guangyao.
"Hey,"
Wei Wuxian said.
"It could be worse. I mean, it's pretty clear at this point that the bond isn't going away, even though I've lost my golden core. So we'll still be able to talk all the time. You can come see me every few weeks. It won't be, you know, awesome, but I think we'll get through it. We've certainly gotten through worse."
Lan Wangji thought deliberately, and Wei Wuxian chuckled.
"There's something that has been troubling me," Jing Guangshan said from the head of the room. "It was inappropriate for me to mention it before, because of the campaign."
"Inappropriate should be his courtesy name,"
Wei Wuxian commented sourly, and Lan Wangji nearly choked again.
"Now the disturbance has been suppressed, and I have no worries anymore. Luckily, all of you are here today, so I hope everyone can be a witness. As you all know, clan leader Jiang Fengmian and I were as close as brothers."
"Bullshit,"
Wei Wuxian thought indignantly.
"Jiang Shushu thought you were a superlicious piece of shit. It's only because Yu Fuden and Jin Fuden... Wait, why is he bringing up Jiang Shushu? Oh, he is not about to!"
"And my wife and Yu Fuen were as close as sisters. Jin Guangshan continued. My son, Jin Zixuan, has been engaged to Jiang Gunyang since childhood, but because of some misunderstandings, we called it off. What a pity.
Your face is a pity, you egotistical ass!
Wei Ying, please.
Now my friend has joined the angels, and my wife and I both hope that the two families can become relatives by marriage again. Not only would it comfort my old friend, but also I can look after his daughter, which is one of my wishes. Jiang Zongju, what is your opinion?
Lan Wangji could see the conflict etched all over Jiang Cheng's face. Everyone in the room could see it, but Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian understood it better than most. An alliance with the Jin family could be crucial right now. It could help Jiang Cheng protect Wen Qing and her family. It could help them rebuild the Jiang sect. But to be pressed into it in front of everybody also showed a weakness. It was yielding some of their power voluntarily, allowing Jin Guangshan to dictate the future of their clan. And that was just the political implications. From a personal standpoint, it was even messier. Jin Zixuan had disrespected their sister repeatedly, but she clearly had feelings for him. Wei Wuxian and Jin Zixuan had gotten into more than one physical altercation over it, and if this went forward in this manner, Jiang Cheng might be forced to reprimand him for it.
Jiang Zongju, this is a good thing, one of the smaller sect leaders called out, and Wei Wuxian's lip curled. Just say yes, he added, and several of the others lifted their voices to support it as well.
Jiang Cheng's fists trembled at his side. Seeing that Jiang Cheng was hesitating too long, Wei Wuxian stood up.
Jin Zongju, thank you for your kindness.
He stood and went down the steps so he could face Jin Guangshan directly, and bowed.
Marriage is a lifelong matter. I assume that you should ask my sister first, rather than asking Jiang Cheng directly. Do you agree, Jiang Cheng?
Wei Wuxian, Jin Zixun said from his own seat. Our clan leader is talking to yours. How dare you interrupt them?
Then ask him yourself, Wei Wuxian said.
Jiang Cheng stood, apparently reassured by Wei Wuxian having opened the floor for his rejection.
Jin Zongxu, this shouldn't be decided between two clans. When my father was alive, he had the same thought. We should leave the decision to your son and my sister. It shouldn't be decided by others.
Jin Guangshan gave a laugh that fooled absolutely nobody in the room.
Of course you're right. We should ask for Jiang Gunyang's opinion.
Across the room, Jin Zixuan craned forward slightly, looking more eager than Lan Wangji would have anticipated. He supposed that over the course of Jiang Yanli's months at Lanling, they could have come to a better understanding and appreciation of each other. It was possible that Wei Wuxian was worried for nothing. Jin Zixuan had his faults, but he was brave and strong and would undoubtedly take care of whomever he chose as wife.
I am very grateful to your kindness, Jin Zongxu,
Jiang Yanli said.
But the Jiang clan has just gone through havoc. As a disciple of the Jiang clan, I should focus on the whole clan and return to Yunmeng to help rebuild Lotus Pier. For now, it is not the right time for me to get married.
Lan Wangji felt a little bit impressed at how smoothly she handled it, couching it not as a refusal of Jin Zixuan, but as a matter of timing and priorities. Would help keep the incident from causing any long-term animosity between the Jin and Jiang clans. Jin Zixuan looked a little disappointed, but not heartbroken. It left the door open for a possible future between the two of them, but still saved the Jiang clan from looking like they were at risk of becoming the Jin clan's doormat.
Shuqia is really quite good at politics,
Wei Wuxian commented, smiling at his sister as he went back to his seat.
She learned a lot from Yu Furen, although probably not what Yu Furen was trying to teach her.
The silence lingered for several long minutes before Jin Guangyao got up to talk about how the Jean Clan was going to hold the crowd hunt in 6 months, and everybody was welcome to attend. While everyone was lauding them for their generosity, Lan Wangji got a look at Jing Guangshan's face and saw it plainly written that he'd had no idea Jing Guangyao was going to do that. Wei Wuxian gave an internal snort of laughter.
Bold move of Jing Guangyao. He gets to save his father's face after that spectacle, but make him uncomfortable at the same time. He's clever, all right.
Lan Wangji couldn't help but spare a worried glance at his brother.
Yes, he is.
By the time they had reached Lotus Pier, Wei Wuxian was really sick of his siblings asking if he was going to be okay without Lan Wangji. "We're not attached at the hip, you know," he said, annoyed. "I mean, when I was learning to use Qin Qing, we were only spending 2 days a week together."
"Yes, but you both thought you would be together once the war was over," Jiang Yanli said. "Does it not trouble you that he isn't staying with you?"
Wei Wuxian sighed and rubbed his temples. "He's still my soulmate, okay? We're still going to get married at some point, I guess." "You guess?" Jiang Cheng sounded frankly offended. "What, has he not asked yet? Do I have to—"
"Not everybody proposes after 4 days, Jiang Cheng," Wei Wuxian said.
Jiang Cheng flushed pink and went silent.
"You could ask him," Jiang Yanli suggested.
"Look, I don't know if either of you noticed, but there was kind of a lot going on," Wei Wuxian said. "When the whole spell happened to begin with, and Zhou Jun said it probably happened like it did because we were cultivation partners, we were both so shocked that we didn't really talk about what that meant for the future." Recovering, Jiang Cheng said, "You were shocked? You said from the day you met him that he was your equal, destined to be your something. I don't know. I wasn't listening."
"Yeah, but I didn't think he'd ever agree with me," Wei Wuxian said, which Jiang Cheng accepted with insulting ease. "Anyway, then the Wen sect attacked Lotus Pier and everything went to shit. We talked about it a little afterwards, but really only because I kept trying to say he couldn't be my cultivation partner anymore because, you know," he gestured broadly to himself, "and he kept on telling me to shut up. Then we were fighting a war and there wasn't a lot of wedding planning going on."
"Well, we'll have to plan one now," Jiang Yanli said, brightening. "I'll write to Zhou Jun to see what his thoughts are."
Wei Wuxian sighed.
"Yeah, sure, you do that, Xu Jie."
He mentally checked in with Lan Wangji for the fifth time that hour. His conversation about their separation with his brother had gone much more smoothly.
"You are truly all right separating for now?"
Lan Xichen had asked.
"Mm,"
Lan Wangji had said. That had been the entire discussion. Now they were on the road back to Cloud Recesses in silence.
"I'm sure my brother and your sister will plan a perfectly adequate ceremony,"
was his commentary on the current discussion.
"Oh, absolutely,"
Wei Wuxian said, cheered by the fact that Lan Wangji wasn't shutting down all this marriage nonsense. Exasperation drifted from the other end of the bond.
"Do you truly think I do not wish to marry you?"
"Well, I don't know. Marriage is kind of a big deal,"
Wei Wuxian replied defensively. He tried to sidestep Lan Wangji's emotions on the matter, knowing that his frustration was based in worry over the fact that Wei Wuxian still doubted the feelings they shared, and focused on something else.
"I mean, which one of us wears red?"
"Neither of us. We would wear the same outfits we would each wear if we were marrying a woman. Stop overthinking things."
"Lan Chan, remember who you're talking to."
A snort of amusement greeted this.
"Are you talking to him?" Jiang Yanli asked, looking excited. "I think I've learned to tell when you are. Your face gets a little distant, but there's always a tiny smile right here," she added, poking him in the corner of his mouth. "Hey!" Wei Wuxian protested. "Yeah, I was talking to him. He'll tell his brother to expect your letter. Now leave me alone and start planning Jiang Cheng's wedding. He's the sect leader."
"Wenqing hasn't agreed to marry me yet,"
Jiang Cheng said, then added glumly, and probably never will after what happened to her clan. Wei Wuxian punched him in the shoulder. Hey, you saved her entire village. No, she saved her entire village, Jiang Cheng said. She figured out the whole plan, snuck in to guide them to the border and take them to Yunmeng. All I did was tell them where in Yunmeng to go, that I was sure nobody would notice them until I could get back and build this so-called prison camp. I mean, that's not nothing, Wei Wuxian said. Do you think she's not grateful for that? I think I don't want her to marry me because she feels like she's in my debt, Jiang Cheng said, and sighed in frustration. But I do want her to marry me, and she is in my debt, and I can't change that, and it's just a mess. She isn't in your debt, though, Wei Wuxian said. Wenqing saved my life, so really, the Jiang sect was already in debt to her. Now you've repaid that debt, and you two are on equal footing. Jiang Cheng's face brightened. Yeah, I guess that's true, he said.
Now we just have to worry about the fact that the other sect leaders will all absolutely hit the roof if Jiang Cheng announces he's marrying one of the few survivors of the Wen sect.
Wei Wuxian reflected.
They'll probably assume she's turning him evil or something ridiculous like that.
Perhaps not so,
Lan Wangji replied.
My brother is well acquainted with Wenqing, and Chifengsen seems to view her as an exception to his blanket dislike of their clan. She was a valuable asset during her time in the Unclean Realm. I don't believe he'd speak out against it.
So, as usual, it's just the bastards in gold we have to worry about,
Wei Wuxian said, and sighed.
I guess maybe one good thing will come from Jing Guangyao being close to your brother is that you'll be able to keep tabs on what they're up to.
Lan Wangji agreed, thinking about the fact that for the next 6 months, the Jin clan would be so busy preparing for the crowd hunt that they hopefully wouldn't have time for much else. It was a massive endeavor, the more so in this case because it hadn't been held in a long time. Jing Guangyao was sure to talk about it with Lan Xichen, so they would hear about it soon. Things at Lotus Pier weren't as bad as Wei Wuxian had half feared they would be on the journey home. He had worried about what he could really do to help rebuild the Jiang sect without his golden core. Jiang Cheng seemed to realize he was worrying about it, probably because Jiang Yanli told him and put him in charge of settling the Wen refugees in, figuring that it was better if he gave Wen Qing some space anyway. Probably because Jiang Yanli told him. It was more enjoyable than Wei Wuxian had figured it would be. They were a little intimidated by him at first, well aware that they were utterly dependent on the Jiang sect's mercy to survive, but Wei Wuxian won them over with dumb jokes and playful fear of Wen Qing's needles. He taught them the ins and outs of lotus farming and helped them build new homes. Although he always had dinner at Lotus Pier and slept in his old room, he spent most of the day at the camp. Jiang Cheng visited once, or sometimes twice a day, and always checked in with him. But his visits were a transparent excuse to see Wen Qing. That helped the refugees, who were intimidated by him, too, as they watched him turn into a blushing mess whenever she called him Wan Yin, or smiled at him. Wei Wuxian made friends with a lot of them and doted on his new little brother, Ayuan, who was just old enough to be talking and started calling him Xian Gege, which melted his heart every time. And if it wasn't quite enough to ease the emptiness inside him, well, he would learn to live with it. At least they didn't seem to be in any danger. He tucked the Stygian Tiger amulet away and hoped he wouldn't need it again, although he always carried Chen Cheng. He had brought Suibian back to Lotus Pier as well, at Jiang Cheng and Lan Wangji's urging. He couldn't use it anymore, but it was still his precious sword. They put it in a place of honor next to Jiang Fengmian's in the family shrine. He cleaned it twice a week, despite the fact that merely drawing it brought tears to his eyes. After 2 weeks apart, Lan Wangji came for his first visit.
The Wen refugees teased him for the way he lit up when they saw each other again. He spent 3 days at Lotus Pier, and they stayed in Wei Wuxian's room for most of them. Then he headed home. Wei Wuxian knew Lan Wangji was worried, but honestly, aside from the fact that he was drinking too much, he felt like he was coping pretty well. The third week, Jiang Cheng wrote a letter to each of the other sect leaders, not just the great sects, but the smaller ones that were close to them. He explained that he had found a group of Wen refugees hiding in Yunmeng. None of them were cultivators. To the best of his ability to ascertain, none of them had been involved in the war, and had fled Qishan when the fighting first broke out there. However, he stated, out of an abundance of caution, he had confined them to a prison camp where they would do menial labor, thus freeing up the Jiang disciples, more time to focus on their cultivation. Wen Qing helped with the letter, and before sending it, Wei Wuxian read it to Lan Wangji, who relayed it to his brother. Lan Qichen made a few small suggestions for changes that would smooth the way with Nie Mingchue, although he couldn't offer much advice for dealing with Jing Guangshan. Wei Wuxian brought the letter to Qinghe so he could see how Nie Mingchue acted. He wasn't thrilled and interrogated Wei Wuxian on the security of the prison camp, but was satisfied by his answers. Once that was done, the letter was sent to Lan Ling. They waited for agonized weeks to see if Jing Guangshan was going to take exception to the presence of the Wen refugees. Lan Wangji came back to Lotus Pier as an extra precaution, wanting to be able to protect Wei Wuxian if any fighting broke out, in the hopes that he wouldn't have to wield the amulet again. The letter never received any response. Finally, 3 weeks later, Jing Guangyao visited Cloud Recesses. Lan Qichen gently inquired after Jing Guangshan's opinion on the matter, and Jing Guangyao told him that Jing Guangshan had taken a "who cares what the children are doing in Yunmeng" approach to the matter. He had more important things to worry about. It was as good as they were going to get, and some of the pressure eased. The Wen refugees were as safe as they would likely get. They had a party to celebrate. Wei Wuxian drank far too much fruit wine and had a hangover for 2 days.
"I never used to get hangovers,"
he moaned to Lan Wangji.
"Being average sucks."
"Perhaps you should not attempt to drink to excess,"
was Lan Wangji's exceedingly sensible advice.
"Come stop me then,"
Wei Wuxian replied, and Lan Wangji came for another visit. Things in Cloud Recesses were going well. The buildings had been rebuilt, the books had been mended, they had catalogued what had been lost, and were attempting to find copies in other places. They were taking in new disciples. "Not sure how," Wei Wuxian remarked one sunny afternoon while they lounged on the docks. "Who looks at that wall of disciplines and thinks, 'You know what? I want a piece of that.'"
"People with self-control,"
Lan Wangji murmured.
"People who know discipline and temperance lead to greater power."
"My ass,"
Wei Wuxian thought.
"If that were really true, the Lan sect would be in charge of us all."
Lan Wangji said. I'm sorry," Wei Wuxian said, somewhat drowsily. "I don't mean to disparage your clan. I know that they suffered as much as we did. How is your brother?"
"He is well,"
Lan Wangji reported. Jing Guangyao had visited twice, but nothing in his behavior had alarmed him overly.
"He did ask about you, though."
"Jing Guangyao did?"
Wei Wuxian sat up.
"Why?"
"I am not sure. Perhaps just to be courteous. It is fairly well known at this point that we are cultivation partners, but that we separated after the war to help our respective families. And he is, or at least was, close with Nie Huaisang, who considers you a friend. Or it could be something else, like the Wen refugees."
"What did you tell him?"
Wei Wuxian asked, and received an image of Lan Wangji sitting stone-faced and occasionally saying, "while Jing Guangyao asked his questions.
He laughed, tossing his head back to the sun, and it felt good.
Zhu Jun probably told him more, though.
Indeed, my brother is...
There was a flush of embarrassment from Lan Wangji as he thought about how absolutely thrilled Lan Xichen was to be helping plan his wedding.
He is happy for us, and sees no reason to hide that, least of all from Jing Guangyao.
I still can't believe the great Zhou Jun thinks I'm good enough for you.
Wei Wuxian thought, and Lan Wangji gave him a look.
Don't be like that. It's just that your brother is so strong and powerful, and you're so, you know, everything that you are. I think he would want you to choose someone more like you, I guess.
My brother wants me to be happy, Lan Wangji said, using his voice instead of his thoughts, as if to drive the point home. We learned a hard lesson from our parents about choosing who to spend our lives with. I chose you because of how I feel about you. He would never gainsay me in that.
To hear your stories about our time in Cloud Recesses, he knew before you did, Wei Wuxian said. Lan Wangji thought back about Lan Qichen's behavior.
It is true. I had never found anyone as infuriating and difficult as you. Why that made Xiang Chang think we were destined to be together, I don't know, but apparently his hunch was correct.
Infuriating, huh? Wei Wuxian rolled them over and pinned Lan Wangji to the dock. Is that what you still think? Lan Wangji held his gaze.
We are in public.
So that's a yes?
Lan Wangji huffed and muttered,
shameless.
Wei Wuxian laughed and rolled off him.
We'll have to find a nice lady for your brother sometime. He deserves it.
Lan Wangji hesitated, his thoughts washing over Wei Wuxian. Concern for his brother. No, not for his brother. But that Wei Wuxian might find his brother odd or broken in some way for not having the same desires as the rest of them.
Really? Wei Wuxian said. Not at all?
Lan Wangji shook his head, his nerves easing back as Wei Wuxian exhibited only curiosity, not judgment.
It is something he mentioned to me perhaps 2 years ago when I was...
Lan Wangji had a few momentary stray thoughts about the horrors that puberty had inflicted on him, and Wei Wuxian practically howled with laughter. Lan Wangji's lack of ability to control his hormones with the same iron fist he had controlled everything else with had distressed him to the point where he had sought his brother's counsel. He'd been unable to offer much practical advice.
But he made it clear that I was the normal one, and that he was the one out of the ordinary.
I don't think that's odd, Wei Wuxian said. Your uncle never married, after all, so maybe it runs in the family. If Zhou Jin is happy with his books and his flute, who am I to judge? He'll probably save himself a lot of trouble in the long run, even if it's something I couldn't imagine for myself.
Lan Wangji said.
Bet Jing Guangyao's gonna be disappointed, though, Wei Wuxian said with a snort. Regardless of his ulterior motives, his hard eyes are not subtle.
Lan Wangji gave a snort.
I'm glad Xiang Chang is oblivious to them, or else he would probably feel the need to explain himself, which is something I don't feel he should have to do.
Well, Jin Guangyao will probably figure it out, given how clever he is. I'm sure Jin Songju is going to pick out somebody horrific for him. Ugh, that reminds me, he said with a wave of annoyance that Jiang Yanli and Jin Zixuan had been regularly writing to each other. Why can't he just leave her alone?
If I'd have to wager, I guess, it's because he likes her,
Lan Wangji thought.
And he's less likely to shove his foot in his mouth up to the knee in a letter than in person.
Fair enough, Wei Wuxian said cheerfully. Although that would only be true if he had feelings. Hey, want to go swimming? The water's nice this time of day.
You just want me to take off my clothes.
Well, yeah, obviously. But I also want to go swimming.
4 months had passed since the end of the Sunshot campaign. Wei Wuxian was reading one evening when Wen Ying appeared in his doorway, gesturing frantically.
"This is it. I'm sure this time this is it."
Wei Wuxian dropped everything he was doing to sprint after Wen Ying back to the refugee camp. He had begged Jiang Cheng to tell him when he was planning to ask Wen Qing to marry him again, but Jiang Cheng had steadfastly refused, saying it was none of his business. Wei Wuxian had then enlisted Wen Ying to get him when it seemed like it was about to happen. Even knowing that there was a 50% chance that Jiang Cheng would chicken out of every opportunity, this was the third time in a week that Wen Ying had fetched him for this reason. They jumped over the waist-high fence around the camp, built more to keep the livestock in than for any security reason, and ducked through the back door of the house where Wen Qing and Wen Ying lived.
"They're on the porch,"
Wen Ying whispered right into his ear, making him jump. The two of them crouched underneath a window to listen. Jiang Cheng was making nervous small talk about the weather, and Wei Wuxian had to muffle his laughter in his sleeve.
"What about this made you think he's gonna ask?" he hissed. "You didn't see his face when he arrived,"
Wen Ying whispered.
"He looked like he was gonna be sick."
Both of them had to muffle more gales of laughter. Blissfully unaware of their audience, Jiang Cheng said, "Wen Qing, do you like it here in Yunmeng? Are you happy here?"
"Yes," she said, "very much so."
Jiang Cheng hesitated, then jumped right in, blurting out, "Would you do me the honor of becoming my wife?"
"Are you spying on your brother's proposal?"
Lan Wengji asked, aghast.
"Shh, Lan Chan, I'm trying to pay attention,"
Wen Qing said. "I'm honored that you would ask, but..." "Wait," Jiang Cheng interrupted. "Wen Qing, please, let me say something first. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that I need to think of the future of my sect, that I should choose a wife from a growing clan, set up an alliance to gain the support that I need. I've thought about that a lot over the past few months, and I've decided that although that may be true, it's not what I want. I don't want the sort of marriage my parents had, arranged for the gain of others. I want to be with the woman I love, and that's you. Even if I lose some support among the other clans, it'll be worth it, because I'll have the smartest, most talented, most courageous woman I've ever met as my wife. You help me every day, Wen Qing. I'm a stronger sect leader and a better man when you're with me. If you don't return my feelings, simply tell me that and I'll never ask you again. But if your only reluctance comes from your concern for my future and the future of the Jiang, then let me assure you that's a concern you need not have. In every way, that future is brighter with you by my side." Wei Wuxian and Wen Ying both held their breath. Miles away, so did Lan Wengji, despite his disapproval of their eavesdropping. Her voice, a little choked up, Wen Qing said,
"Wen Yin, are you sure?"
"I've never been more sure of anything in my life," Jiang Cheng told her.
"Then yes," Wen Qing said, audibly crying and laughing at the same time. "Yes, I will marry you, Wen Yin, and those two idiots spying on us can come out now."
"Ah!" Wei Wuxian popped up in the window and saw Jiang Cheng turn pink. "We're sorry!" Wen Qing withdrew a needle from her sleeve, then said sweetly,
"Run."
Wei Wuxian ran, with Wen Ying on his heels, both of them laughing like the world's happiest idiots the whole way.